بسم الله، الحمد لله، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings upon Prophet Muhammad, His companions, and anyone who follows them on the righteous path, and all those who take him as an ally and as an assistant to lead us to the path which will enable us to enter paradise bi-idhnillah. And this is done only through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following him strictly in our actions, our statements, our behavior, our worship, and every aspect of life. Alhamdulillah, we continue with the tafsir, or afwan, with the sharh of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, Shaykh bin Uthaymeen, and the author of the book, Shaykh ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi. And just to get a quick review or summary of what we discussed in the last sitting, we were discussing the verse in Surah Al-Hadid where we said that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Awwalu Wal-Akhiru Wal-Zahiru Wal-Batin. Naam. And we said that we benefit from these names. What is the total benefit? What is the ultimate benefit from these names? Can anyone give us an answer? We said that there is a summarizing fruit which we reap from understanding these four qualities. These four qualities and names. More, five qualities, we said. There are five qualities in the four names. What was the ultimate thing that will help us increase our iman? The fact that Allah what?
It's encompassment of all qualities of
Allah. Aywa. No, that encompassment of the knowledge of Allah. The encompassment of the knowledge of Allah. That everything and that happens is encompassed in understanding these four qualities. Nothing is absent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this is the bottom line that the Shaykh mentioned as a summary, excuse me, of understanding these qualities. So this will make us be more mindful of Allah and more fearful of Allah in such a way where He does not miss you in a place where He expects you to be, and He does not find you in a place which He does not want you to be. Okay? That's the ultimate thing. Since Allah knows everything, you shouldn't be in a place where you're not supposed to be, and you should be at places where you are supposed to be. That's really what it is. Then Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh went on to say, quoting another verse which is used by Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah to understand the names and the attributes of Allah in the proper context. The verse is in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 58. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shaykh said, قول المؤلف رحمه الله وقوله سبحانه وتوكل على الحي الذي لا يموت. وتوكل, and rely upon the ever-living who doesn't die. And rely upon the ever-living who doesn't die. And this is for what emphasis? Because when you say the ever-living, it's obvious that it doesn't die. But then it was mentioned. We will see the benefit of that. And at least we can say this is for means of emphasis. A. Tawakkal. What does tawakkal mean?
Rely upon.
But let's go linguistically. Linguistically, the Shaykh will explain it linguistically. He says, التوكل مأخوذ من وكل الشيء إلى غيره. يعني when you make someone in charge. When you make someone in charge, it's like wakala. Even nowadays, you know, you have the wakil, like the kafir and things of the sort. So wakala is when you not delegate, but when you assign, aywa, you make someone in charge of something on your behalf. Okay, so say he's my wakil.
We're
dealing linguistically now. We're not dealing with the tawakkul in the Islamic context. We're going linguistically now. Linguistically speaking, in the Arabic language, wakala shay, meaning he made someone in charge of that thing. So for example, a person, a father, who wants to marry his daughter off to someone. And that person and that person's daughter, the one who wants to get married, the man, and the person's daughter live in the same country for whatever reason, and the father is abroad. He's living somewhere else. And he is the one who's supposed to be the wali, the guardian over his daughter. He Islamically may assign a wakil. someone whom he makes in charge of him, takes his position to finish off the marriage, playing the role or taking the position or representing the father. He's called a wakil linguistically. So this is what tawakkul comes from. Wakala ash-shay'a ila ghayrihi. Wakala ash-shay'a ila ghayrihi, meaning to make someone else in charge of something. That's wakil. That's wakala. The tawakkul comes from the meaning of wakala ash-shay'a ila ghayrihi. Ay fawwadahu ilayh, which really means to entrust someone with something. Entrusting someone with something, meaning I, Tal Muhammad Anwar Ali, on my behalf, I want you to go and say such and such and do such and such and what have you, due to entrusting him and fulfilling that thing on my behalf. So I am making him in charge of something based on my trust in him. Because you don't do tawakkul to someone who's wicked, because he's not going to fulfill the trust. Right? So it's almost conditional with someone that you trust. Otherwise you may not get the thing fulfilled. So this is the understanding we also need to have linguistically to see how this will help us Islamically, in Islamic context.
Power of attorney.
Same like this. That's exactly what it is. The power of attorney. Jazakallahu khairan. Good one, Muhammad Anwar Ali. فالتوكل على الغير بمعنى التفويض إليه, meaning to make someone in charge, meaning to entrust someone with something. Now, this is linguistically. Islamically, what we understand from the deen of Islam, the Shaykh said, وَعَرَّفَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءَ التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِأَنَّهِ. The scholars, some of the scholars have made the definition of relying upon Allah as follows. صِدْقُ الْإِعْتِمَادُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The truthfulness and dependence upon Allah. Truthfulness in your dependence upon Allah. فِي جَلْبِ الْمَنَافِعَ. To bring about goodness. وَدَفْعُ الْمَضَارِ. And to prevent harm. Truthfulness and dependence upon Allah to bring about goodness and prevent harm. That's what tawakkul means. Upon Allah. We get that.
To bring out goodness?
It is truthfulness, independence upon Allah to bring about goodness. Whatever good you want, huh? Aywa. And whatever evil that you don't want, from harm in the body, harm in the wealth, harm in the family, any kind of harm. You depend on Allah to give you the good that you want and to prevent the harm that may afflict you. That's what tawakkul means. مَعَ الثِّقَى. Continuation. مَعَ الثِّقَى بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. While trusting Him, while trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted. Yani having ultimate trust. Not someone who's, you know, not really sure. Well, maybe Allah will do this, maybe not. Rather, you must have full trust. وَفِعْلُ الْأَسْبَابُ صَحِيحَةً. And utilizing the means and the reasons. This is very important. Utilizing the means and the reasons. For example, someone says, goes to the masjid, huh? He doesn't have a job. He wants money. He goes to the masjid and says, I do tawakkul. I have trust in Allah. Tayyib, I'm putting my trust in Allah. And I'm depending on Allah with truthfulness that Allah will bring money for me and prevent poverty from me. Huh? While having trust in Allah about that, but then he doesn't leave the masjid. What do we say? This is bogus. This is not trust in Allah. This is not tawakkul. Rather, tawakkul is when you leave the masjid, and we're talking about outside salah. Of course, during the salah, you're not going to leave the masjid. We're talking about someone who stays between Fajr and Dhuhr doing nothing, waiting for maybe the roof in the masjid to open and some money to fall down, which is yani, far-fetched. So you go get a job. You go look for a job. You exert yourself along with trusting in Allah and depending on Him and having this all these qualities, then your tawakkul is complete. And what is the evidence for that? As we know, when a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he had his camel with him, he said, O Messenger of Allah, shall I put tawakkul, shall I put my trust in Allah and leave it unleashed, untied, or shall I tie it? He said, tie your camel and then depend on Allah. So you don't leave your car unlocked in a neighborhood where there's a bunch of robbers, you know, thieves, and you say, I put my trust in Allah to protect my car. So you know, you lock the door, and you take the means, utilize the means, then you put your trust in Allah. So you understand this, because some people go to extreme. Some people depend on the reasons, where they no longer can, they think that the money and everything is going to come from what they do. without relaying them and depending on Allah as the one who brings about the good and prevents the harm. They forget about this aspect and they're always busy with the reasons. Oh, because I didn't do this, this didn't happen. Because of this, this didn't happen. They don't know that this is risk from Allah. And had they depended on Allah, this would not be the case. The other extreme is those who don't want to utilize the means. They just want things to happen, huh? While they don't use anything. They don't utilize the means and they think that this is tawakkul. So this is, neither one is correct. One is extreme. Either one is extreme. The middle course that we take is that we depend on Allah while utilizing the means. Then we are doing proper tawakkul. Is this clear? Very important. This is a ibadah, by the way. This is a ibadah, badaniya or qalbiya?
Qalbiya.
Is it physical or in the heart? In the heart. Nobody. Can I see the tawakkul? Does it appear on your thawb? On your face? No. I would never know how much tawakkul you have. This is something you have in your heart. That's why they divide the acts of worship into physical, like salah. You know, things that are that the Prophet ﷺ commanded outwardly, and furthermore inwardly, things that fearing Allah, loving Allah, huh? Depending on Allah, you cannot see these things, but they are acts of worship. طيب. And they are more important. If these things are sound, then everything else is going to be sound. Obviously, because their place is the heart, and the heart is the most important element or piece of flesh in our body, as the Prophet ﷺ said. أَلَا وَأَنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَى إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدِ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدِ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. Verily, in the body there is a piece of flesh. If it is sound, then the whole body will be sound. If it is not sound, then the whole body, if it's corrupt, then the whole body will be corrupt. Verily, this is the heart. So the heart is the ultimate thing that we are searching for. Because someone may look outwardly to be a mutawwi', as they say, and inwardly has none of that stuff. So we don't want to, you know, be confused. Furthermore, we are concerned when this thing is inside is good, then everything else outside is going to be good. So they go kind of hand in hand. You know, they work out like that. Alhamdulillah. طيب. وصدق الاعتماد أن تعتمد على الله اعتمادا صادقا. Now the Shaykh began by saying صدق الاعتماد, truthfulness, independence. He's explaining that part now.
Hey,
truthfulness, independence is to depend upon Allah in a truthful way. Truthful dependence is repetitive. بحيث لا تسأل إلا الله. In such a way where you do not ask except Allah. You do not ask except Allah. ولا تستعين إلا بالله. And you do not seek aid except from Allah. So first you don't ask except Allah. And you don't seek aid except from Allah. ولا ترجو إلا الله. And you don't have hope except in Allah. ولا تخاف إلا من الله. ولا تخاف إلا الله عفوا. And you do not fear except Allah. So you ask Allah. You seek assistance from Allah. You have hope in Allah and you fear Allah alone, exclusively. تعتمد على الله عز وجل بجلب المنافع ودفع المضار. You depend upon Allah, the Exalted, the Almighty, in bringing about the benefits and preventing and keeping away the harm, the harmful things. ولا يكتفي هذا الاعتماد دون الثقة به. That dependence is insufficient unless it is accompanied with trust in Allah. وَفِعْلُ السَّبَبِ الَّذِي أَذِنَ بِهِ. And utilizing the means which he has made permissible. The means like working. Halal. In this case, not haram. بِحَيْثُ إِنَّكَ وَافِقٌ بِدُونِ تَرَدُّدْ مَعْ فِعْلِ السَّبَبِ الَّذِي أَذِنَ فِيهِ. In such a way you have complete trust and confidence while utilizing the means that he had allowed you. That Allah will protect you and will give you what you want and will protect you from the harm and will give you the goodness. So really this is very important to understand the concept of depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ultimate sense. Now of course, we know this also. Of course the Shaykh يعني, did not elaborate on this in a sense where he gave you the evidences. But everything that he's saying is actually based on evidence. Now we don't, you know, the scholars don't bring things from their own homes. You know, these are things that are, if you look into the narrations, you will find traces. The one I mentioned earlier about the heart. Another one that is relevant to this particular issue is the one, the hadith of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه وارضاه, when he sat behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on the animal that he was riding. Ibn Abbas was a young man and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم put him behind him. He said, يا غلام إني معلمك كلمات. Oh young boy, I will teach you some words. What did he teach him? The first thing he said, إذا سألت فاسأل الله. If you ask, ask Allah. وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. And if you seek aid, then seek aid from Allah. And know that if all the people came together to benefit you with something that Allah did not have written for you, they will not be able to benefit you. And if all the people came to harm you with something that Allah does not have meant for you, they will not be able to harm you. So this is here. That's why he said, if you ask, you ask Allah. If you seek aid, you seek aid from Allah. If you love, you love Allah and what have you. طيب. فمن لم يعتمد على الله واعتمد على قوته فإنه يخذل. So whosoever does not depend on Allah and depends on his power, his own personal power, he shall be disappointed. He will be disappointed. He will not get what he wants. ودليل ذلك ما وقع للصحابة. And there's an evidence for that happened to the companions. مع نبيهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. With the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. في غزوة حنين. In the battle of حنين. حين قال الله عز وجل. When Allah says, لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم. In Surah At-Tawbah, verse 25, Allah says, interpretation of the meaning in English, and Allah has made you victorious in many different places and times, and on the day of Hunayn, when your great number pleased you. When the Muslims, they went to fight against the non-Muslims, and they found that they were larger in numbers. They were many more in numbers than the disbelievers. So they said, no one will beat us today. Almost, because when they were 300, in the beginning, 300 and some men in the Battle of Badr, against a thousand of the Quraysh who had their weapons and the whole nine yards, and Allah gave him victory, huh? Then they started feeling, you know, they said, if we won like this, and this one, we're three times, four times the number of the disbelievers, we're going to squash them. So they depended on what? Huh? Their own. They were pleased with their numbers. Oh, we have a great number. حيث قالوا لن نغلب اليوم قل we will not be defeated today. We will not be defeated today. فلم تغني عنكم شيئا. Allah says, so it did not benefit you. It did not benefit you in any way, that great number or that belief, that thought that you had. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. And the earth became confined in spite of its vastness. The earth is vast. But you know, when the chest gets constricted and tight, you feel like the earth cannot contain you. This is the description. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُ مُدْبِرِينَ. Then you turned away. You turned around, running away. And you fled. They fled. Hey. But then Allah Azza wa Jal came with the aid. That's why he began the verse. But Allah gave you victory in many times and on the day of Hunayn. ثم أنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين. Then Allah sent down His tranquility, the tranquility upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon His messenger and upon the believers. وأنزل جنودا لم تروها. And He sent down armies which you did not see, which are the angels who came and fought with the Muslims. So that's an example. When they depended on their own power and their own strength, they did not get what they did not get what they want until they returned it back to Allah. These are lessons that we learn from these particular issues, and a lesson for us today, because we keep depending on the United Nations and we keep depending on these countries. Ya Shaykh Fukana, leave us alone with this now. What is the United Nations going to do at the end of the day? Bring a few people that the Israelis are going to shoot the next day? I mean, we're depending on outside objects that are weak in and within themselves and don't want you. They don't want Islam. Even if it's the United Nations and supposedly, they don't want Islam, they don't want the Muslims. They should have many years ago told Israel to get out and, you know, utilize the means, brought some international army, say, come on, go back home. They don't even have a home in reality. But this is not going to happen because the Muslims are depending on weak elements. The Muslims should depend on Allah and utilize the means. Having trust in Allah, we do make dua and the qunut and all this. But what are we? What are we not doing anything, man? We just watch on the internet. We see images. Our hearts get sad. You know, we grieve. We feel incapable of doing anything. You feel handicapped. You know what? There must be some organization. There must be some organizing from leaders who open the door for the Muslims who want to go for jihad. Open the door. That's what is expected of the people, by the way. Because the Muslims are ready, man. Wallahi, if the Muslims, if they open the door for the Muslims, if they allow them to go in, wallahi, they will squash the Jews, man. We will step on them with our shoes. You got a billion Muslims. They will go eat these people alive. Because we don't fear anyone but Allah. But the problem is that either people are weak, either they love the dunya, or it is not being facilitated because of our separation, because of our distance from the deen of Allah. So may all these come together for the weaknesses that we are going through today. So had we depended on Allah and utilized the means, we were independent from these outside nations, we don't depend on any of them, then we ourselves will be self-sufficient with Allah. The same way Allah suffices the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the Muslims in the early generations where they conquered the whole world, man. We could do the same thing. But it was as Imam Malik said. Imam Malik said, the only thing which will rectify the condition of the end of this ummah is that which rectified the condition of the beginning. The only things that will take the ummah back, that will fix us, is what fixed the early generations. So what does that mean? We have to go back. We have to go back in every aspect of our deed to what our righteous predecessors were upon. You have no escape. If Islam, because we have the same Quran, minus this is off the subject, but this is relevant. We have the same Quran. Did the Quran change? Did the Sunnah change? Did the knowledge change? Everything is the same. The same sources that the companions were using, we have even easier access to them. You know, they may have had to travel many distances to hear a hadith. Now you go online and you look it up on Google and we have 100 hadith. We have everything facilitated for us. In reality, we don't have to go through the suffering they did. So we have the same means and easier access. But we don't have the same results. Why? Because we lack implementation. We talk too much. That's what it is. We talk too much and we don't put things into action. And this is our problem. And the problem with that is our children are the ones who suffer our misconduct. We are negligent and our children become more negligent, then their children become more negligent, and then how is the Islam going to come back? It's not going to come back. Unless we become the pioneers. Each one of us should be a pioneer. Take this deen seriously. Dedicate yourself to Islam. Work, make money, and, you know, do whatever Allah facilitates, but dedicate an aspect of your life to Islam, at least within your own household. Instead of the children being brought up on all these nonsense video games and that thing, bring a small Islamic library and make a day of the week where you bring your children and you sit down and say, let us read the story of Khalid bin Walid or Umar bin al-Khattab, or return them back to the Sahaba so they would see some examples instead of the basketball players and the soccer players and all these cricket players. And you know who their examples are today. They follow the kuffar and they don't know anything about the Sahaba. So we need to go back. So this will happen to us, bi-idhnillah. The victory of Allah is coming. Whether it is through me and you, if it's not through me and you, Allah will replace us and bring someone else who love Allah and Allah loves them, and Allah will give victory to Islam through them. So it's our choice. Either we get involved or you will be kicked out. I don't know what we want.
Talking about means, we have a lot of means.
We do. We have doctors, we have architects, we have engineers. If we were to be independent, yaqi, from the other nations, we don't need anyone.
Means?
Let's be frank with ourselves. It's not the issue of the leadership, it's the issue of the Muslims. The Muslims themselves, if the Muslims, ya akhi, were upon the deen, then inevitably the leaders will be among the people who are upon the deen. This is something that is known from the righteous predecessors. When you see that the Muslim leaders in the different countries are no good, it's because the people. Because of the people. Had the people been good, then Allah will put someone good likewise. So really, it is all of us. It is not just, we don't want to put the blame on the leaders. They did not make it there unless there was corruption to begin with. Otherwise people would not accept in the first place. So there are many elements. This is one aspect of it, but this is not only it. It is the whole Muslims. Muslims being distant from their deen, Muslims committing shirk, Muslims doing bid'ah, Muslims being careless about the deen. It's just become outwardly things and, you know, just salah. That's it. You know, just the very basic things, Ramadan, that's it. And everything else that is relevant to what we're learning is almost seldom. Look at us, we're five brothers here. And the land of knowledge, yeah. You know, that should say it all. Anyways, Allah musta'an. The Shaykh said, وَمَنْ تَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهُ وَلَكَ لَمْ يَفْعَلِ السَّبَبِ الَّذِي أَذِنَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ فَهُوَ غَيْرُ صَادِقٍ فَهُوَ غَيْرُ صَادِقٍ. So whomever relies upon Allah without utilizing the means which Allah gave, then he is not truthful, not truthfully depending on Allah. or relying upon Allah. بل إن عدم فعل الأسباب سفه في العقل ونقص في الدين. Nay, but actually not utilizing the means is deficiency in the mind and misunderstanding of the deen. It's يعني feeble-mindedness, not being intelligent enough, and deficiency in your deen, in your religious commitment. لأنه طعن واضح في حكمة الله, because it is a clear يعني clear clear, what is the term that I'm looking for? Hey, no, it's basically يعني belittling the wisdom of Allah. It is يعني misjudging the wisdom of Allah, accusing the wisdom of Allah of things that are not befitting. This is يعني طعن is like stabbing, you know, that's what is intended, stabbing, like that, you know, not in a physical sense, but you're falsely accusing, or you're hurting in a sense. So it negates the wisdom of Allah, the fact that Allah in His wisdom gave you means to utilize things, and He gave you the ibadah of tawakkul and depending upon Him. So for you to take one aspect and leave alone the other one is basically mistreating the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والتوكيل على الله هو شطر الإيمان أو التوكل على الله هو شطر الإيمان. Depending on Allah is half of iman. Depending on Allah is half of your iman. كما قال تعالى, as Allah says in the Quran, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. It is you that we worship and it is only you that we seek assistance from. Surah Al-Fatiha verse 5. والاستعانة بالله تعالى هي ثمرة التوكل. Seeking aid from Allah is the fruit of depending on Allah and relying upon Allah. Seeking assistance is the fruit of tawakkul. That's what the Shaykh said. فَاعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ, as Allah says in the Quran in Surah Hud verse 123, so worship Him and rely upon Him. فَاعْبُدْهُ meaning Allah, worship Allah and rely upon Him. Surah Hud verse 123. طيب, وَلِهَذَا فَإِنَّ مَنْ تَوَكَّلَ عَلَى غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُو مِنْ ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامِ. Because of that, whosoever depends on other than Allah is one of three categories. Whosoever depends on other than Allah falls under one of these three parts or categories. The first, أولا, أن يتوكل توكل اعتماد وتعبد, that you rely upon other than Allah, huh, in a form of depending and worshipping, which is, we said, it's an act of worship. Depending on Allah is an act of worship. فَهَذَا شِرْكٌ أَكْبَرٌ, this is major shirk that will throw you outside of Islam. Like someone who goes to a grave and they have total dependence in their heart that this dead person will alleviate their problems. He will give them goodness and prevent harm. This kind of ibadah of the heart, tawakkul on a dead person or on a living person in a sense, is a form of major shirk which will throw you outside the pales of Islam. Okay. كأن يعتقد بأن هذا المتوكل عليه هو الذي يجلب له كل خير. Such as believing in your heart that that one whom you're depending on has the ability to bring about every goodness. ويدفع عنه كل شر, كل شر, and he will prevent you from every kind of harm. فيفوض أمره إليه تفويضا كاملا, so he entrusts him in a full entrust. He entrusts him in an ultimate sense. في جلب المنافع ودفع المضار, in bringing about goodness and preventing harm. مع اقتران ذلك بالخشية والرجاء, while having fear and hope in this object other than Allah. We're talking about, brothers, other than Allah. Someone doing this to other than Allah. ولا فرق بين أن يكون المتوكل عليه حيا أو ميتا, and it is irrelevant whether that which is being depended upon is life or dead, is alive or dead, as I mentioned earlier. لأن هذا التفويض لا يصح إلا لله. This kind of entrusting does not befit anyone except Allah. It does not befit that you have this kind of feeling except towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, which is what we just explained earlier. So that's the first category. The second category of those who depend on other than Allah. ثانيا أن يتوكل على غير الله بشيء من الاعتماد لكن فيه إيمان بأنه سبب. To depend on other than Allah, to depend on other than Allah somewhat, not fully, because you have faith that this is among the reasons. This is among the reasons. وَأَنَّ الْأَمْرَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, while knowing that the affair at the end of the day and the judgment belongs to Allah. So you're not fully depending on Allah, and you're not fully depending on any other than Allah. You are in between. Partially you depend on Allah because you know that the judgment of Allah, but also you're very much dependent on the reason, such as an ill person who's taking medicine, where they overemphasize the importance of the medicine and dependence on the medicine, and they decrease their dependence on Allah to make the medicine effective or not. Because you may take a medicine and Allah does not will for this medicine to be effective, and you will not benefit from the medicine. So because all these are conditional to the judgment of Allah. So this is a person. كتوكل كثير من الناس على الملوك على الملوك والأمراء في تحصيل معاشهم فهذا نوع من الشرك الأصغر. Like many of the people who depend on the princes and the kings and those who are in charge to provide them with their sustenance. He said this is a form of minor shirk, where you are having over dependence on the creation and not full dependence on Allah. And obviously the third category is which أن يتوكل على شخص على أنه نائب عنه, that you depend on a person as someone who is a representative of you, someone who's representing you. وأن هذا المتوكل فوق, and that person you're depending on is better than you, is above you. كتوكل الإنسان على الوكيل في بيع وشراء ونحوهما مما تدخله النيابة. Like you depending on someone to do business on your behalf, such as trade, buying and selling, as a person who's a power of attorney, as he mentioned. This is permissible. This is permissible because you know he has better skills than you. Maybe if you went into these business transactions, you will come out as a loser. So you entrust someone with handling business on your behalf because he is better than you, higher than you in this aspect. This is halal. This is permissible. وَلَا يُنَافِي تَوْكَ اللَّهِ. This does not negate your dependence on Allah. Because you're not depending on him in the sense of ibadah. Rather, you know that even what he does is by the will of Allah. He's only means. وَقَدْ وَكَّلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ أَصْحَابَهُ فِي الْبَيْعِ وَالشِّرَاءِ وَنَحْوِهِمَا. And the Messenger of Allah ﷺ did assign and delegate some of his companions to do buying and selling on his behalf and things of this sort. طيب. Even when in Eid al-Adha, he delegated Ali رضي الله عنه to slaughter the animals, the camels on his behalf. At one point, in one of the ayat, Ali رضي الله عنه slaughtered the rest of the camels. Prophet ﷺ did, I think he was 100, he started 69 or something along these lines with his own hand, and Ali رضي الله عنه did the rest. So the Prophet ﷺ delegated someone in an act of worship. Do we understand the permissibility of assigning someone to be a representative to you because of whatever reasons, as long as you don't depend on them with your heart, that they are the ones who bring the good and prevent the harm. وَقَوْلُهُ. Now we dealt with like, all this just to say what tawakkal. All this is for the word tawakkal. Now we continue. عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Upon the ever living who does not die. يقولون إن الحكم إذا علق بوصف دل على علية ذلك الوصف. They say if a ruling is dependent on an attribute, this shows you the highness of this attribute. The ruling, if it's depending on an attribute, this shows you the importance of this attribute. لو قال قائل لماذا لم تكن الآية وتوكل على القوي العزيز. If someone was to say, why didn't the ayah say, depend on the all-powerful, the almighty? طيب. لأن القوة العزة أنسب فيما يبدو. Because to him this is more befitting. Depend on the powerful, all-powerful, almighty. In his mind, this is more relevant to dependence. You depend on someone strong, of course. Someone who's mighty, has power among the people, authority. Obviously, so the person's using here rational intellect, which is not really intellect, because you don't tell Allah what he should have said. So this is obvious, but this is hypothetically speaking. The answer, nonetheless, the answer, فالجواب. The answer, أنه لما كانت الأصنام التي يعتمد عليها التي يعتمد عليها هؤلاء بمنزلة الأموات. When these idols and statues that the people who used to depend upon them were similar to dead, similar to the dead. كما قال تعالى, as Allah says in the Quran, سورة النحل, verse 20 and 21. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. And those whom they ascribe as partners, or whom they call upon besides Allah, do not create anything and themselves are created. Notice now, amwatun ghayru ahya. They are dead and they are not, they are dead and they are not alive. Dead and not alive. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبْعَثُونَ. And they do not perceive, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. They do not perceive when they will be resurrected. So Allah says, and those whom they call upon besides Allah do not create anything and themselves are created. We already gave many examples about the statue and the deficiency of the statue. Furthermore, Allah explained, أموات, dead. غير أحياء. Again, notice, tawakkal depend on the ever-living who doesn't die. We said the ever-living already explains that he cannot die. Here he said, أموات غير أحياء. They're dead and not alive. Again, for emphasis, notice, subhanAllah, the Quran is ajeeb. Now, these are two different verses in two different places. And if you don't reflect upon the Quran, you may never pay attention. Now, by the grace of Allah, the Shaykh mentioned them both, so we were able. This is right now a discovery. You notice? There Allah said, Al-Hayy alladhi la yamud, the ever living who doesn't die. Although the ever living gives the meaning. Ever living, you cannot die. When he described the Asmam, he said, Amwatun ghayru ahya. They are dead and they're not living. Subhanallah al-Azim. To see the difference and the negation between both. A. فقال توكل على من ليس صفته كصفة هذه الأصنام. So what is intended then? Depend on the one whose attribute is not like the attributes of these idols and statues, which is death, where Allah is the ever living. وهو الحي الذي لا يموت. It is the ever living who never dies. على أنه قال في آية أخرى وتوكل على العزيز الرحيم. Although Allah said in another occasion, and depend upon the Almighty, the Most Merciful. In Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 217, the Shaykh said, لِأَنَّ الْعِزَّةَ أَنْسَبَ فِي هَذَا السِّيَاقِ. Because in the context there, the word عِزَّة was more befitting. So in this ayah, because of the context, what was in Surah Al-Furqan? This is the same surah which dealt with the idea of the disbelievers and their dependence on their statues and their belief in the statues. Remember in the beginning of Surah Al-Furqan, if you read it, in the beginning of Surah Al-Furqan, it deals with that. And we've mentioned it many times. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. And they have taken besides Allah gods who themselves create nothing, but they are created. And they do not possess for themselves harm or benefit, and they do not possess life or death or resurrection. So this was the qualities of them. So in the context of Surah Al-Furqan came this, and depend upon the ever-living who doesn't die. In Surah Al-Shu'ara, the context was different. So Allah says, depend upon the Almighty, the Most Merciful. طيب. ووجه آخر, another reason, أن الحي اسم يتضمن جميع الصفات الكاملة في الحياة. There's another reason why it is more befitting to use الحي, the ever-living. He said, because the name حي includes all of the attributes of perfection in life. All of the attributes of perfection. ومن كمال حياتي عز وجل أنه أهل لأن يعتمد عليه. And from the perfection of the attribute, or from the perfection of the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that He is befitting to be depended upon. He is befitting to be depended upon. وقوله لا يموت. And the statement of Allah عز وجل, the one who doesn't die, or never dies. يعني لكمال حياته لا يموت. Meaning because of the perfection of his life, he does not die. Now we have a life, right? Don't you have a life? Is it perfect?
No.
Because it will taste death. Although it will move on to another aspect of life. But the deficiency is in the fact that at one point it will be terminated from this world. And it will be in a middle stage between this life and the hereafter. Then it will be, it's under the authority of Allah. This life of yours, it is not ultimate. It is all controlled by the wisdom and the will of Allah with the free will that we have. Whereas the life of Allah Azza wa Jal does not have these phases that we have. So we have life, Allah has a life, but our life is deficient. It has a beginning, it will end in this life, it will be subdued in the middle life, it will go to the hereafter, perhaps to Jahannam. What kind of life is that? You know, this is not really life. لا يموتون فيها, huh? In Surah Al-A'la, سيصلاها ويتجنبها الأشقى. لا. ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. He does not die therein, nor does he live. But isn't he living in Jahannam? Yes, but the scholars say, because this is not really a life. A life of being tortured and being in pain you cannot even call it a life. So that's why Allah said that. ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيى. He does not die. We know he will not die. ولا يحيى, and he doesn't live, but he will live. You see, but it is not the life in the ultimate sense. So this is just a little addition. Allahumma ista'an. المهم A. فيكون تعلقها بما قبلها المقصود به إفادة أن هذه الحياة كاملة لا يلحقها فناء. So the benefit of mentioning this after what came first is to indicate that this is life which is ultimate, perfect, and it will never be terminated. It is immortal, as we say, mortal, that which comes to an end, immortal, that which does not come to an end. في هذه الآية من أسماء الله, in this ayah, we learn from the names of Allah, الحي, the ever-living. وفيها من صفاته, what about the attributes? You bring it. We learned, Ya Akhwan, that every time we deal with a verse, we find names of Allah. And we mentioned that each name indicates an attribute. And sometimes, it's not a name. It's just an attribute. Like, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Is that a name of Allah? No. But it's an attribute of Allah. So we said that the attributes are much more vast in general than the names. صح? طيب. So just because we have a name, it does not mean that we have only one attribute. There's at least one attribute. Sometimes from the whole context of the verse, you learn more attributes. So now we know there's Hay, because of وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. That's one, as far as the names of Allah is concerned. What about the attributes? Who can deduce some? Besides the Hay. The first one is the ever-living. The name indicates that attribute. We're done with that. That's it. The Shaykh said, وَفِيَا مُصِفَاتِ الْحَيَاةِ وَانْتِفَاءِ الْمَوْتِ. The fact that he never dies, because ever-living is a name.
Immortal.
Aywa. So the one who is immortal, immortal is what indicates that. أحسنت. المتضمن لكمال الحياة, which includes the perfection of life. فَفِيهَا صِفَتَانْ وَإِسْمِ. So it has two attributes, two qualities of Allah, and one name. الحي contains both. The fact in the ayah, وَلَا يَمُوتْ. So Al-Hayy gives the one the quality of the ever-living, and the La Yamut, which is not a name of Allah, but an attribute, the one who never dies. So, then the next verse is وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ in Surah Al-Tahrim, verse 2, we will postpone that بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ to next week if we all remain present in this life. We will deal with the qualities of Allah, the most knowledgeable or the all-knowing and the all-wise, and this is also very relevant to our iman inshallah. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
We pray with the names and also with the attributes, right?
Yes sir, yes, we call upon Allah through his names and through his attributes.
Only with the attributes also you can call?
Yes. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.